in a painted logo, a woman stands on a tiered pedestal. Wearing a Roman toga, she holds a torch aloft. Its brilliant light shimmers against a silver word, Columbia, a Sony Pictures Entertainment Company. Now, comic book pages flip past, rapidly showing explosions and punching fists. The drawings disappear, revealing the word Marvel. Now, over misty blue light, titles appear. Columbia Pictures presents. The words blow away as a silvery rope shoots past. Our view pulls back, revealing more interconnected ropes. More titles. A Marvel Enterprises Laura Ziskin production. As our view pulls back further, we see that the ropes form spider webs. Over one web, light shines from another title, Spider-Man. Over the shimmering webs, letters drop in and stick to the strands, forming words. Starring Tobey Maguire as Peter Parker, Willem Dafoe as Norman Osborn, Kirsten Dunst as Mary Jane, James Franco as Harry, Cliff Robertson, Rosemary Harris, J.K. Simmons, Jerry Becker, Bill Nunn, Jack Betts, Stanley Anderson, Ron Perkins. Casting by Francine Maisler and Lynn Kressel. Co-producer Grant Curtis. Now we shoot down a red tube and zoom toward intertwining cellular branches. Music by Danny Elfman. Costumes designed by James Acheson. A red-gloved fist punches, stretching one of the large spider webs. Now the red fingers grasp at a web and the silvery threads wrap around the hand. Now the webs move down the chest of a lean, red-costumed figure. Our view moves up the figure's back and over his smooth, hooded head. More titles. Visual effects designed by John Dykstra, ASC, edited by Bob Murawski, Arthur Coburn, ACE. Now a metallic green mask with a gaping mouth and pointed teeth floats in the darkness. The silky spider threads outline its hooked nose and large eyes. Now spider webs hang high above tall, flat-roofed buildings. Our view follows plummeting letters down the side of one building. They land in another shimmering web. The fingertips of the gloved hand press against one of the building's windows. As we swing through the air between tall skyscrapers, more titles appear, stuck in the spider webs. Production designer Neil Spizak, director of photography Don Burgess, ASC, executive producers Avi Arad, Stan Lee. Produced by Laura Ziskin, Ian Bryce. Based on the Marvel comic book by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko. Screenplay by David Kopp, directed by Sam Raimi. Our view pulls away from a large round web. It hangs under a fire escape on a city street. A school bus rolls past and under a subway bridge.
Who am I? You sure you want to know? The story of my life is not for the faint of heart. If somebody said it was a happy little tale, if somebody told you I was just your average, ordinary guy, not a care in the world, somebody lied. But let me assure you, this, like any story worth telling, is all about a girl.
Inside, a redhead grins.
That girl. The girl next door. Mary Jane Watson. The woman I've loved since before I even liked girls. I'd like to tell you that's me next to her. Heck, I'd even take him.
A fat kid bites into a jelly donut.
Hey! Stop!
A scrawny kid bangs on a window.
That's me.
Hey, tell him to stop, please!
As the kid struggles to keep up with the bus, Mary Jane moves toward the driver.
Stop the bus!
Stop the bus!
Stop!
He's been chasing us since Woodhaven Boulevard.
The driver nods reluctantly and the bus rolls to a stop. The scrawny kid gets on.
Thank you. Sorry.
As a ball of wadded-up paper hits him in the face, the teenager looks at his classmates through his thick-framed glasses. He approaches a girl in pigtails.
Don't even think about it.
You're so lame, Parker.
As the boy, Peter Parker, heads down the aisle, a blonde kid smiles at Mary Jane's boyfriend, who nods.
Mm-mm.
Peter nears Mary Jane. His eyes focus on her, and a smile spreads across his lips. The blonde kid trips him. Peter lands in the aisle. The bus heads toward the New York skyline. Now outside, a teacher directs students.
Midtown High seniors, no wandering. Yeah. Proceed direct.
Knock it off.
Remember, it is a privilege to be here. We are guests of Columbia University Science Department, so behave accordingly.
Smiling, Mary Jane looks over her shoulder toward Peter. He smiles back. She waves. As Peter waves back, so do two girls behind him. The girls join Mary Jane as the class heads toward the science building. Peter sighs and lags behind. Nearby, a Rolls-Royce pulls up.
No, Charles, can we drive around the corner, please?
Why? The entrance is right there.
Dad, these are public school kids. I'm not showing up for the field trip in the Rolls.
What, you want me to trade in my car for a Jetta just because you flunked out of every private school I ever sent you to?
It wasn't for me.
Of course it was. Don't ever be ashamed of who you are.
I'm not ashamed of who I am.
Just what happened?
Forget it.
Harry gets out of the car.
Pete!
Hi, Harry.
Harry!
His father approaches.
You've been needing this?
A backpack.
Thanks, Dad. Peter, may I introduce my father, Norman Osborne?
Heard so much about you.
Great honor to meet you, sir.
Harry tells me you're quite the science whiz. You know, I'm something of a scientist myself.
I read all your research on nanotechnology. Really brilliant.
And you understood it?
Yes, I wrote a paper on it.
Impressive. Your parents must be very proud.
I live with my aunt and uncle. They are proud.
Hey, you two! Let's move!
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. Hope to see you again.
Yeah.
Peter and Harry head toward the others.
He doesn't seem so bad.
Yeah, not if you're a genius. I think he wants to adopt you.
In a lab.
There are over 32,000 known species of spider in the world.
Peter stares at a two-story microscope.
Wow. That's amazing. This is the most advanced electron microscope on the eastern seaboard.
Mary Jane's boyfriend plays with her hair, and she pulls away.
Arachnids from all three groups possess.
She notices Peter watching her, then he glances down.
Constant search for food. For example, the Delana spider, family Sporacidae, has the ability to jump to catch its prey.
Peter lifts a camera.
School paper?
The tour guide nods.
Mm-hmm.
As Peter takes a photo, Mary Jane's boyfriend bumps him.
Next, we have the netweb spider, family Philistetidae, genus Cuculcania. Spins an intricate funnel-shaped web whose strands have a tensile strength.
As Peter tries to take another picture, the blonde guy bumps him. Harry glares.
Leave him alone.
Or what?
Or his father will fire your father.
What's daddy gonna do? Sue me?
What is going on?
The teacher glares.
The next person who talks will fail this course. I kid you not.
This grass spider hunts using a set of reflexes with nerve conduction velocity so fast that some researchers believe it almost borders on precognition and early awareness of danger. A spider sense.
Look at that.
Some spiders change colors to blend into their environment. It's a defense mechanism.
Peter, what makes you think I would want to know that?
Who wouldn't?
Over five painstaking years.
They watch Mary Jane.
Genetic research facility.
Can I talk to her now?
The genetic codes
of
each of these spiders.
You talk to her.
Armed with these DNA blueprints,
right. Harry sidles up to Mary Jane.
Disgusting. Just
imagine. Yeah, hateful
little
things.
I love them.
Yeah, me too.
Peter steps closer, smiling.
You know, spiders can change their color to blend into their environment.
Really?
Yeah, it's a defense mechanism.
Cool.
Yeah.
Harry glances back at Peter, who stands gaping.
Combining the genetic information from all three spiders into these 15 genetically designed super spiders.
There's 14.
I beg your pardon?
One's missing.
Above the tour group, a tiny spider crawls on a circular web.
I guess the researchers are working on that one.
Do you know that this is the largest electron microscope on the eastern seaboard?
You were talking throughout that woman's entire presentation. Let's go talk about how we listen.
Peter watches as the teacher leads Harry away. Mary Jane studies the engineered spiders.
What it's like at those fancy private schools, hospital.
Noticing Mary Jane is alone, Peter inches closer to the display, his eyes wide behind his black-rimmed glasses.
Hey, can I take your picture? I need one with a student in it.
Sure, yeah.
Great.
Where do you want me?
She moves beside the display.
Here? Yeah, that's great.
Don't make me look ugly.
That's impossible.
Peter smiles brightly and takes a step back. In the camera's crosshairs, Mary Jane fidgets into a pose.
Ah, perfect.
Above Peter, the escaped spider descends from its web. Mary Jane pretends to read her tour booklet as Peter snaps another photo.
Is that good?
Great.
She poses studiously with the booklet, then gives Peter a cheesy smile. The spider descends closer.
That's great.
Dangling from a silky strand, the spider lands on Peter's finger and crawls along his hand.
MJ, let's go.
Wait. Thanks.
The spider's fangs pierce his flesh. Peter flicks the red and black spider to the floor and crouches, watching it crawl away. He stands to examine the puffy red bite mark over a vein on his hand.
Parker, let's do it.
As Peter walks away, holding his hand, a huge lab monitor shows a DNA strand assemble. A photo of the spider appears with the label New Species. Now, inside a factory with the name Oscorp, a man balances on a sleek crescent-shaped hoverboard. High-ranking officers watch.
We solved the horizon glide and the multi-G balance issues.
I've already seen the glider. That's not what I'm here for.
General Slocum, good to see you again.
Harry's father enters.
Mr. Balkan, Mr. Fargus,
Norman,
Mr. Osborne.
Always a pleasure to have our board of directors pay us a little visit.
I want to see the progress report on human performance enhancers.
We tried vapor inhalation with rodent subjects. They showed an 800% increase in strength.
800%, that's excellent.
Any side effects?
In one trial, yes.
It was an aberration. All the tests since then have been successful.
And in the trial that went wrong, what happened? What were the side effects?
Violence, aggression, and insanity.
And what do you recommend?
That was only one test. With the exception of Dr. Strom, our entire staff certifies the product ready for human testing.
Dr. Strom?
We need to take the whole line back to formula.
As the general turns away, Norman faces Strom.
Back to formula?
Dr. Osborne, I'm going to be frank with you. I never supported your program. We have my predecessor to thank for that.
Norman, the general gave the go-ahead to Quest Aerospace to build a prototype of their exoskeleton design. They test in 2 weeks.
And if your so-called performance enhancers have not had a successful human trial by that date, I'm going to pull your funding. I'm going to give it to them.
The general walks off.
Gentlemen, ladies.
Norman shifts his worried gaze. Now inside a suburban house, an older man changes a light bulb.
And the Lord said, let there be light. And voila, there is light. 40 soft-drawn watts of it.
Good boy. God will be thrilled. Just don't fall on your ass.
He gets down off a chair.
I'm already on my ass, mate. When the plant's senior electrician is laid off after 35 years, what else would you call it? I am on my ass.
Hand me that dish, the green one.
The corporation is downsizing the people and upsizing their profits.
Oh, Ben, you'll get another job somewhere.
Ben hands the bowl to May.
Well, let's look in the paper and see. There are the one ads. What do we got here? Computer salesman, computer engineer, computer analyst. My Lord, even the computers need analysts these days. May, I'm 68 years old. I'm too old for computers. And besides, I have a family to provide for.
I love you. And Peter loves you. You're the most responsible man I've ever known. We've been down and out before, but somehow we survive.
Yeah.
Peter comes through the front door.
Hi, sweetie. You're just in time for dinner.
Hey, how you doing, buddy? How was the field trip?
I don't feel well. I'm going to go to sleep.
He starts upstairs.
You won't have a bite?
No, thanks. Had a bite.
Well, did you get some pictures, Peter?
I got a crash. Everything's fine.
Peter's uncle turns from the stairs.
What's that all about?
In his room, Peter lets his shirt fall to the floor. Dazed, his frail body staggers forward. Clammy dark circles ring his fluttering eyes. As the room spins, Peter falls onto the edge of his bed and slides to the floor. His hand reaches up and drags the blanket. Peter shivers, pulling it under his chin. The spider bite is now swollen and white.
In this recombination lab, we used synthesized transfer RNA to encode an entirely new genome, combining the genetic information from all three spiders into these 15 genetically designed super spiders.
White light pulses, flashing a view of Peter's skull. Spiders crawl along cellular branches. A section of DNA shatters and a red and blue fragment replaces it. The colored energy surges along the DNA strand and Peter's eyes widen. Now at Oscorp.
Dr. Osborne, please. The performance enhancers aren't ready. The data just doesn't justify this test. Now I'm asking you for the last time. We can't do this.
Don't be a coward. Risks are part of laboratory science.
Let me reschedule with the proper medical staff and a volunteer. I mean, if you just give me 2 weeks.
2 weeks? In 2 weeks, we'll have lost the contract to Quest and Oscorp will be dead. Sometimes you gotta do things yourself.
He undresses.
Get me the promochloroparazine.
For what?
It begins catalyzation when the vapor hits the bloodstream.
Now shirtless, Norman takes the vial from Strom.
40,000 years of evolution and we barely even tapped the vastness of human potential.
He swallows the contents and throws the vial aside. Norman lies down in a concave examination table attached to a huge 10-sided chamber. Strom clamps metal restraints over him. With Norman secure, the balding scientist moves to a computer terminal. He presses a few buttons and the table slides into the glass-walled chamber. As Strom types, the chamber doors seal shut and the table rises to a vertical position. Strom stands alone in the cavernous lab and gapes through the glass panels. Now upright, Norman nods to the edgy scientist. Strom gives a weak nod back and starts the experiment. He glances at a tube of green liquid that empties behind him, then nervously looks to Norman. Green mist issues from a grate at Norman's feet. His brow crinkles as the billowing smoke reaches his face. As smoke fills the chamber, Strom looks at a computer display. It shows the vapor content rising. More screens show green bar graphs extending to red, a digital arm muscle expanding, and a heartbeat monitor increasing past 140 beats per minute.
Norman?
The smoke thins and reveals Norman convulsing. Strom hurries to the terminal.
Norman!
It reads venting gas chamber. Norman's body shakes violently against the restraints. His eyes roll to white. His head thrashes. As the smoke disperses, Norman's body slumps.
Oh my God.
The heartbeat monitor flatlines.
Oh my God. Norman?
Strom rushes to the chamber.
Oh my God. Norman!
He enters a side door and stares into the man's face.
Norman!
The scientist opens the restraints and starts CPR compressions. As Strom turns to the monitor, Norman's eyes open. He grabs Strom by the throat and pulls his face close, snarling.
Back to formula.
Norman hurls Strom through the glass. As sparks fly, Norman vaults to a crouch, gives an enraged grimace, and he pounces. His wild eyes flash. Now Peter wakes and looks around his room. He grabs his glasses off the dresser. He puts them on, takes them off, and puts them on again. Through one lens, his view shows a blurry reflection of himself in the mirror. As he puts the glasses away, his view becomes clearer. He stares at the glasses, then folds them up.
Weird.
He sets them down. As he starts to turn away, he notices his shirtless reflection. Muscles bulge from his toned upper body. Peter turns at different angles and flexes.
Peter?
Yeah?
Are you all right?
He eyes his reflection.
I'm fine.
Any better this morning? Any change?
Change?
He looks at his body.
Yeah. Big change.
Well, hurry up. You're going to be late.
Right.
Peter moves to his bed and grabs a shirt. As his gaze drifts out the window, he stops. Next door, Mary Jane stands in her room, brushing her bright red hair. She picks up a jacket and walks off. Peter faces the mirror again. He takes a quick glance at the window, then cocks his head.
Okay.
Later, he props an arm on the staircase railing and briefly runs his feet along the wall.
Goodness me.
Jeez. I thought you were sick. I got better.
You see?
Bye, guys.
You haven't eaten anything. Have you got your lunch money?
Yeah, I got it.
Hey, Michelangelo, don't forget we're painting the kitchen right after school. Got it?
Sure thing, Uncle Ben. Don't start without me.
And don't start up with me.
He gives Peter a thumbs up as his nephew heads out.
Teenagers. Raging hormones. They never change.
Outside, Mary Jane runs out of her house.
It's up to me. You're trash. You're always going to be trash, just like her.
I have to go to school.
Ah, who's stopping?
Peter follows her. Later, a train passes behind them as they head down a sidewalk along a city street. Peter stays several paces behind Mary Jane, who walks with her arms folded. He pauses and watches the back of her hair bob with each step. She stops several yards ahead of him and hangs her head.
Hi, MJ. Hey, MJ. I don't know if you realize this, but we've been neighbors since I was 6, and I was wondering if maybe
a sports car pulls up.
Get together sometime, maybe do something fun, or I don't know. I thought it'd be time to get to know each other.
MJ rides off with her friends.
Or not.
As Peter watches her go, the school bus passes him by. He races after it. Peter bangs on the side of the bus. A Go Wildcats banner sticks to his left hand and tears off as the bus speeds away. Peter stands in the street, swinging his arm to free the banner. He pries it off with his right hand, then stares at his left. Now our view glides past a large, stately building with stone parapets and pointy spires. Inside, Harry passes a study. He glances in, then runs across the room.
Dad.
Norman lies on the floor.
Dad, are you all right?
Harry.
Harry helps him onto a seat.
What are you doing on the floor?
I don't know.
Have you been there all night?
Last night I was...
In a flashback, Norman's head convulses.
What?
I don't remember.
Mr. Osborne?
Sir, I asked her to wait in the foyer.
I'm sorry, my father's not feeling well, Mr.
Mr. Osborne, Dr. Strom is dead.
What?
They found his body this morning in the lab. He's been murdered, sir.
What are you talking about?
And the flight suit and the glider?
What about it?
It's been stolen, sir.
Now, teenagers rush across the street to a 5-story brick building. Inside, Peter sits alone in the cafeteria, munching on French fries. He looks up and sees Mary Jane approaching with a tray of food. He smiles. She passes him by. MJ slips in a puddle. Peter catches her, then grabs her tray and deftly captures each item of food as it drops.
Wow, great reflexes. Thanks.
No problem.
Hey, you have blue eyes. I didn't notice without your glasses. You just get contacts?
Peter opens his mouth, then gives her a wide smile. Mary Jane smiles back at him.
Well, see ya.
She walks off. Peter's smile fades as he watches her leave. He slumps down in his seat, then raises his hand. A fork sticks to his palm. Peter gives it a shake, then glances to his side. With his free hand, he pries the fork away. Silky threads connect the utensil to his wrist. As he jerks his wrist away, more webbing shoots out to the next table and catches on a food tray. Peter glances at the students nearby, who chat obliviously. He yanks his arm back, and the tray flies toward him. He ducks. It hits MJ's boyfriend in the back. Clumps of food stain the back of his shirt. Students look on as he spots Peter walking away. The tray slides after Peter, still attached to the webbing. MJ's boyfriend looks from the tray to Peter.
Parker?
Peter hurries out the double-doored exit. The tray bounces between the two closed doors. Later, Peter holds his wrist as he walks down the hall. He goes to his locker. As MJ's boyfriend approaches, Peter looks up. Behind him, people appear frozen. A paper airplane hangs suspended in midair. A fly's wings flap sluggishly. A student holds a straw to his mouth, and a spitball hovers in front of it. Now a fist slowly moves forward. Peter ducks out of the way, and it smashes a dent into his locker.
Think you're pretty funny, don't you, freak?
My
fist breaking your teeth, that's the accident.
Come on, Flash, stop.
I don't want to fight you, Flash.
I wouldn't want to fight me neither. Kick his ass, man.
Peter easily dodges two left hooks. As Flash throws a third punch, it moves in slow motion. Peter shifts to the side and stares at the arm in front of him. Flash throws another punch. Peter bends backward. As his torso goes parallel to the floor, he sees an upside-down view of Mary Jane and her friends. Harry arrives. As one of Flash's friends charges, Peter backflips over him, spinning in the air. Peter eyes his two attackers.
Which one?
It's all yours, man.
Flash pushes his friend away, then launches a flurry of missed punches at Peter. The smaller student grabs Flash's wrist and socks him in the chest. Flash sails across the floor into a teacher, whose lunch tray spills on the thug's face. Mary Jane gives a puzzled look at Peter, who stands with his fist still extended. Flash's friend glowers.
Jesus, Parker, you are a freak.
The crowd disperses.
Peter, that was amazing.
Mary Jane gapes at Peter. As Peter runs off, Harry watches him.
Peter!
Outside, Peter dashes across one street, then another. He runs into an alley and leans his back against a brick wall. On his wrist is a pale discoloration in the shape of an asterisk. He turns his hand over and sees the swollen sore from the spider bite. Peter's gaze shifts. Overhead, a loop of barbed wire hangs from a pipe. Inside the circle, a beige spider crawls across an intricate web. Peter looks down at his hand. Tiny bristles grow from his thumb. A microscopic view shows that each bristle has a row of barbs on it. Peter stares up along the brick wall to the sky above. He reaches out with one hand, then the other, and grips the wall, fingers extended. His entire body lifts off the ground as he crawls vertically. Each leg moves in tandem with the opposite arm. The toes of his sneakers plant into the bricks below his fingers. As he progresses, his movement grows more assured. He stops a quarter of the way up the wall and looks down, eyes widened. A childlike grin crosses his face.
Woo-hoo!
Later, he leaps from rooftop to rooftop.
Ah!
He soars over the ground hundreds of feet below. Two kids jump rope in an alley. High overhead, Peter bounds past them. He lands on a rooftop, then stops and peers over the edge. Below, a truck heads across a four-lane street. Peter pulls the sleeve of his shirt down past his wrist, then looks up at a crane hauling an air conditioner across the street. He thrusts his arm forward with a flip of the wrist.
Go, Web!
Nothing happens.
Fly!
He thrusts his arm out again.
Up, up, and away, Web!
He directs his palm forward.
Shazam!
He tries a thumbs up.
Go! Go! Go, Web, go!
He makes devil horns with his pinky and index finger. Frowning, he flicks his wrist. A string shoots out and arcs downward. Peter extends his hand, palm facing up. More webbing launches toward the crane and falls short. Keeping his arm raised, Peter shoots out a third line. The web catches on the crane's metal crossbeams. Peter grips the other end with both hands and looks down. Birds scatter as he hops up onto the roof's edge. Below, tiny people move along the sidewalks.
Tally-ho.
He closes his eyes and drops forward. He swings down to a short building across the street. On the roof, his heels slide helplessly through gravel as his momentum continues. He crashes into a billboard and skids downward. Nighttime. Peter runs down the sidewalk to his house. His pace slows as he heads up the front steps to the door. Inside the kitchen, a roller sits in a pan of green paint. A can and three brushes sit next to it. Peter enters and observes the green painted walls. He purses his lips. His gaze drifts to the sink, and he heads over to it. A handwritten note reads, "Michelangelo, meatloaf and veggies in oven." Peter blinks. He looks out the window to the Watson house. Peter carries out the garbage. Mary Jane heads out the back door of her house. She sees Peter.
Were you listening to that?
No. Well, I heard, but I was just taking out the trash.
I guess you can always hear us.
Well, everybody shouts.
Your aunt and uncle don't.
They can scream pretty good sometimes. Listen, MJ, about today, at school with Flash.
You really freaked us out.
I'm sorry. Is he okay?
He's just happy you didn't give him a black eye for graduation.
Peter nods, then lowers his head.
So where are you going after you graduate?
She steps closer to the chain link fence separating their yards.
I want to move into the city. And hopefully get a job as a photographer, work my way through college.
Mary Jane nods, smiling.
What about you?
Headed for the city, too. Can't wait to get out of here. I wanna...
What?
She faces him, her head cocked to the side.
Come on. Try me.
I wanna act on stage.
Really?
She nods.
Well, that's perfect. You're awesome in all the school plays.
Really?
Yeah. I cried like a baby when you played Cinderella.
Peter, that was first grade.
Well, even so, sometimes you know people. You can just see what's coming.
What do you see coming for you?
He looks off and raises his eyebrows.
I don't know.
He shakes his head.
Whatever it is, something I never felt before.
He stares at Mary Jane, who shrugs.
And what for me?
For you?
She gives a meek nod.
You're gonna light up Broadway.
You know.
She steps closer.
You're taller than you look.
I hunch.
Don't.
On the street.
Come take a ride, my new birthday present.
A silver car.
Come on.
I gotta go.
She walks off.
Bye.
Oh my God, it's gorgeous!
Yeah, right?
Look at it!
I'm in.
Oh my God,
I'm pretty tight, huh? Wait till you hear the sound system. Hey, go scratch the leather.
Woo-hoo! Cool car.
Now a newspaper ad reads, "Used cars at great prices." Below, it lists luxury cars for between $20,000 and $40,000. Reclining on his bed, Peter flips through several pages to an ad announcing $0 down. He runs his finger along a list of cars to a sport convertible for under $3,000. At the bottom of the page, another ad reads, "Amateur wrestlers, $3,000 for 3 minutes in the ring. Colorful characters, a must." Peter imagines Mary Jane's smiling face beside him, then the sport convertible. Later, in a montage, he sketches various costume possibilities in a notebook. He writes, "utility belt," then crosses it out and tears away a page. Under the word "symbol," he sketches several different forms of spiders. On another page, he writes, "needs more color." A red spider with a blue abdomen crawls by. As Peter colors in a costume design, a flashback appears over his shoulder of Mary Jane at her window, brushing her hair. Peter finishes a blue leg and chest, then picks up the notebook. It shows a character in a blue bodysuit with red webbing around the hands, feet, head, and torso. On the chest is the black symbol of a spider. Daytime. A paperboy tosses a newspaper onto the Parker's front stoop. In his room, Peter sets up a Dr. Pepper can as a target. As he shoots webbing, he breaks a toy rocket, then a framed picture. On his third attempt, he lashes the can and reels it in. He then snags a lamp, jerks it toward himself, and ducks. He opens the door a crack.
What's going on in there?
I'm exercising. I'm not dressed, Aunt May.
Well, you're acting so strangely, Peter.
Okay, thanks.
He shuts the door and turns. Silky white threads crisscross the room. Now at the Osborne residence, Norman holds up a copy of the Daily Bugle. A headline reads, "Oscorp may lose contract to Quest." Inside, a column title asks, "Is this the end of Norman Osborne?" Norman looks up. Norman clenches his eyes shut and shakes his head. His eyes open again and he trudges forward. Back at the Parker house.
Something's bothering him. Maybe he's too embarrassed to tell me what it is. Maybe I'm too embarrassed to ask him, you think? I don't know. I just don't know anymore.
Hey, well, going to the downtown library. I'll see you later.
Oh, yeah, wait, Pete. I'll drive you there, buddy.
Oh, no, I'll take the train.
No. I need the exercise. Go on. Go.
Ben gives his wife an A-OK hand sign, then follows Peter. May smiles as she crochets. Later, in the city, a 1970s Oldsmobile pulls up to a curb with Uncle Ben and Peter inside.
Thanks for the ride, Uncle Ben.
Oh, wait a minute, Peter. We need to talk.
Well, we can talk later.
Well, we can talk now, if you let me.
What do we have to talk about? Why now?
Because we haven't talked at all for so long. Your Aunt May and I don't even know who you are anymore. You shirk your chores. You have all those weird experiments in your room. You start fights at school.
I didn't start that fight. I told you that.
Yeah, well, you sure as hell finished.
What was I supposed to do? Run away?
No, you're not supposed to run away, but... Pete, look, you're changing. I know. I went through exactly the same thing at your age.
No, not exactly.
Peter, these are the years when a man changes into the man he's going to become the rest of his life. Just be careful who you change into.
Peter lets the words sink in.
This guy, Flash Thompson, he probably deserved what happened. But just because you can beat him up, doesn't give you the right to.
Peter eyes his uncle.
Remember, with great power comes great responsibility.
Are you afraid that I'm going to turn into some kind of criminal? Quit worrying about me, okay? Something's different. I'll figure it out. Stop lecturing me, please.
I don't mean to lecture and I don't mean to preach. And I know I'm not your father.
Then stop pretending to be.
Ben nods and turns away from him.
Right.
Peter looks down.
I'll pick you up here at 10.
As Ben stares forward, Peter climbs out and shuts the door. As his uncle drives off, Peter stands in the street holding a large paper bag. He faces the library building, then watches the Oldsmobile disappear around a corner. Peter turns and walks off in the opposite direction. Now, inside an arena, Peter hurries up a staircase. He looks down over a wrestling ring in the middle of the packed auditorium. His eyes grow wide as he watches a brawny, long-haired wrestler throw down his opponent, then leap from the corner ropes and body slam the guy. Two spectators hold up a banner. Bonesaw, master of disaster. As the referee holds up Bonesaw's arm, an announcer enters the ring. On a high landing, Peter walks away.
I know the Flying Dutchman.
Now contestants line up at a table.
Next. There's no featherweight division here, small fry. Next.
No, sign me up.
Okay. You understand the NYWL is not responsible for any injury you may and probably will sustain while participating in said event. And you are indeed participating under your own free will?
Yes.
Down the hall to the ramp. May God be with you.
In the arena, Bonesaw hurls his opponent out of the ring. The referee grabs Bonesaw's arm.
Winner! Victor! Are you ready for more? Bonesaw is ready!
Will the next victim enter the arena at this time. If he can withstand just 3 minutes in the cage with Bonesaw McGraw, the sum of $3,000 will be paid to...
He leans toward a screen.
What's your name, kid?
The Human Spider.
The Human Spider, that's it? That's the best you got?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
The sum of $3,000 will be paid to the terrifying, the deadly, the Amazing Spider-Man!
The screen raises.
My name's the Human Spider.
I don't care, get out there.
No, he got my name wrong.
Get out there, you moron.
Peter's red costume shows only his eyes.
Bonesaw's gonna eat you up and spit you out, little man. I hope you brought your mommy with you.
We're gonna break you something, Brian.
As Peter steps past the jeering women in their vinyl bra tops and short shorts, he sees Bonesaw's previous challenger wheeled away on a gurney. In the crowd, signs make the words, "Kill him." As Peter enters the ring, cage walls lower from the ceiling. Peter stares as the four sides unite above the ring, then descend, surrounding it. Peter steps to one corner.
Hello, guys?
Will the guard please lock the cage doors at this time?
Hey, listen. Some kind of mistake. I didn't sign up for a cage match. Hey, unlock the thing. Take the chain off.
Hey, Freak Show. You're going nowhere. I got you for 3 minutes. 3 minutes of play time.
Bonesaw charges. Peter jumps and Bonesaw slams into the bars. Peter watches from high up on the cage wall.
What are you doing up there?
Staying away from you.
That's a cute outfit. Did your husband give it to you?
As Bonesaw lunges, Peter springs off the bars and somersaults through the air. Now he shoots a webbing from his wrist to the cage ceiling and vaults over Bonesaw's head. Bonesaw slams Peter's head with a folding metal chair. Peter drops. As he tries to stand, Bonesaw hammers him with the chair repeatedly. The bearded wrestler grabs Peter by the leg and slams him against the cage walls. Peter falls to the mat. Bonesaw gets a crowbar and raises it overhead. Peter's eyes widen. On his back, he delivers fast kicks to Bonesaw's chest. The tread of his shoe thumps the man's face and sends him into the bars. As Bonesaw charges, Peter catches him with his feet and flings him. The referee holds up Peter's hand and the sides of the cage retract to the ceiling. Peter raises his other arm and pumps his fists. Later in an office, a man gives Peter a $100 bill. Peter watches excitedly as the man counts out a stack of hundreds.
Now get out of here.
$100. The ad said 3,000.
Well, check it again, Webhead. It said 3 grand for 3 minutes, and you pinned him in two. For that, I give you 100, and you're lucky to get that.
I need that money.
I missed the part where that's my problem.
Peter stares at the manager, then leaves. A scruffy man with bleached blonde hair enters, throws a sack at the manager standing behind the desk, and points a gun.
Hey, what the hell?
Put the money in the bag.
In the hall outside, Peter presses the elevator button. He hears the commotion and turns around. In the office, the burglar pounds the manager across the face, then runs out.
Hey! He stole the game!
Stop that guy!
Peter steps aside, letting the burglar into the elevator.
Thanks.
The cop fails to catch him.
What the hell's the matter with you? Let him go!
Cut him off in the lobby and call the cops!
You could have taken that guy apart. Now he's going to get away with my money.
I missed the part where that's my problem.
Peter watches as the manager walks away, then calmly presses the elevator button. Later, in the night air, Peter walks down a city street and stops to watch two police cars pull up to the curb. In his street clothes, Peter looks ahead and sees a crowd gathered on the sidewalk. He slowly approaches. Police officers hold the onlookers back.
Come on, folks, keep moving, please. Let's go.
Someone got hurt.
Peter pushes his way to the middle of the crowd.
Excuse me.
Stay back.
Hey, stay back.
Hey, Uncle.
Uncle Ben lies on the ground.
What happened?
Carjacker. He's been shot. But we just called the paramedics. They're on their way.
Hey, stay back. Uncle Ben.
Ben slowly opens his eyes. They dart, then focus on Peter.
Uncle Ben?
Ben manages a weak smile.
Peter.
Over here, Uncle Ben.
Tears stream from Peter's eyes, and he takes his uncle's hand.
Peter.
Ben's eyes close. His bottom lip quivers, and his head rolls to the side. Peter watches tearfully as his uncle's hand drops from his grasp. Now Uncle Ben's face is still. Peter shakes with sobs.
They got the shooter. He's headed south on Fifth Avenue. We got 3 cars in pursuit.
Peter listens to the police officer. He stands with a determined look on his face. Now he runs down an alleyway, tearing off his sweatshirt and revealing his Spider-Man costume. As he runs, he pulls on his gloves and mask. Now Peter leaps onto the brick wall at the end of the alley. He easily clings to the surface and climbs up, his hands moving in sync with each opposite leg. Under his nimble fingertips, the wall takes on the quality of a horizontal plane. He leaps over a window and crawls higher. His back arches as he cranes his head around for a look behind him. He leaps onto an empty flagpole, swings around it twice, and lets go, soaring through the air to the roof of another building. Now he springs from rooftop to rooftop and lands on a golden ornament atop a small dome. More than 10 stories below, he sees his uncle's car zigzagging down the street. Peter shoots a web line to a neighboring building. He gapes at the building and looks at the street far below. His eyes bulge at the distance across and down. Peter grips the line tightly with both hands. He jumps and his body swings straight toward the bricks. With his free hand, he shoots a web line to another building and shifts his momentum away. As his arcing motion peaks, he shoots a line to another building, then lets go and plummets in a free fall. Peter casts a line further down the street. He swoops into a wide semicircle past a skyscraper's windows, then somersaults and sprays more webbing. Each time, the pull of gravity slows his rising body. He shoots a line and goes into a swing. On the street, the Oldsmobile smashes through a pile of trash. As police cars follow in close pursuit, Peter swings from web line to web line above them. Streetlights pass under his feet like hurdles, and he drops onto the roof of the car. Peter punches his hand through and reaches for the carjacker's face. As the car weaves recklessly through traffic, the thief aims his gun at the roof. Peter dodges the bullets, then leaps onto the roof of a passing tractor trailer. He balances on the roof of the truck and fixes his eyes on the car poles ahead. The truck approaches an overpass. Peter hurls himself upward. His legs flail as he soars over the bridge, and he lands feet first on the truck as it comes out the other side. Spotting the Oldsmobile, Peter does a flying backflip 50 feet through the air and lands on the car's hood. He punches the windshield, and the car fishtails into a traffic barrel. Peter leaps out of sight as the car plows into a metal gate. Now the carjacker runs through the smashed-in gate. Three police cars arrive. Inside a dark warehouse, the thief moves slowly, holding the gun out in front of him. A searchlight moves through the dingy windows on a far wall. He ejects the magazine from his gun and reloads. On the ceiling, Peter's shadow appears in the roving searchlight, then disappears.
Who's there?
The carjacker shoots the silhouette. Behind him, Peter lowers himself upside down on a web line, then zips out of sight. Now the carjacker rams some double doors. Peter grabs him and smashes the man's head through the door's window panes. Stumbling, the thief pulls a knife. He swings it at Peter, who does a backflip and kicks the knife into a ceiling pipe. Gripping an overhead sprinkler, Peter boots the thief off balance, then yanks off his red mask.
Don't hurt me. Just give me a chance. Just give me a chance!
What about my uncle? Did you give him a chance? Did you?
As Peter grabs the man by the collar, the searchlight shines through the window and illuminates the carjacker's bleach blonde hair. Peter stares as he remembers the burglar running down the arena hallway toward the elevator.
Thanks.
Now he remembers Uncle Ben lying on the sidewalk. Peter slowly backs away from the burglar. The thief points his gun between Peter's eyes.
See ya.
Peter seizes the man's wrist and twists it. The gun drops. As the burglar backs away fearfully, he trips over a pipe in the floor and falls through the window. Glass showers down as the thief plummets. Peter looks out and sees him sprawled on a dock below. On the water, a boat shines a searchlight at Peter.
Freeze! We've got the place completely surrounded!
Now, police officers search the warehouse. Beams of light shine from their flashlights as they point their guns. They approach the broken window and shine their lights around it. Two officers lean through, peering outside. Now, Peter sits on an eagle-like gargoyle of a high-rise building, hundreds of feet above the streets. His sullen gaze looks out over the glittering city below. Later, Peter walks into his house. Aunt May slowly approaches him, dressed in a pink bathrobe. He stands motionless as she walks toward him. She reaches out to her nephew, then sobs into his shoulder. In the dim living room, they hold each other tightly. Fade to black. Now a concrete wall reads, Quest Aerospace Proving Grounds, Bunker 6. A car pulls up in front of it, and the general gets out.
Good evening.
General, good to see you. Our exoskeleton's got real firepower, General Slocum.
Well, if it does what you say it can, I'll sign that contract tomorrow.
A four-limbed capsule stands in a clearing.
He's clear, let's go!
I assume you're confident about this test?
Absolutely. Captain Curtis is our top pilot. Now, what about your commitment to Oscorp?
Nothing would please me more than to put Norman Osborn out of business.
Exhaust jets from the bulky suit.
Brief flight complete. Mark.
Glowing smoke billows at the base of the cylindrical body as the pilot in the suit rises.
We are picking up an unidentified object, closing fast.
What the hell is that?
Can you see anything?
A green light destroys the capsule. God. A figure soars from the fireball on the Oscorp glider and blows up the bunker. The explosion becomes a sky filled with graduation caps. Peter poses with friends holding diplomas.
Say Chess.
Chess.
Aunt May hugs him.
Peter. Oh, my darling. I'm so proud of you. You look so handsome up there.
Pete, good news. My father got the place in New York, so we're all set this fall.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
You made it.
Norman joins them and smiles at Harry.
It's not the first time I've been proven wrong.
He shakes his son's hand.
Congratulations.
Thanks, Dad.
Peter, the science award. That's terrific.
Yeah.
Peter accepts the executive's handshake with a goofy smile.
I know this has been a difficult time for you. But I want you to try to enjoy this day. Commencement. The end of one thing. The start of something new.
Norman's hand rests on Peter's shoulder. Harry watches MJ and Flash.
Fine.
Here's my ring.
You know what? Whatever. You're lost.
Back with Peter and Norman.
You're like a brother to Harry. That makes you family. And if you ever need anything, just give me a call.
Peter nods. Later, Peter follows Aunt May into the house and ambles toward the stairs.
Can I fix you something?
No, thanks.
Peter sadly walks up the stairs. Aunt May gazes tenderly after him. Nighttime. Outside, lights shine from the windows of Peter's house and Mary Jane's house. Peter sits on his bed. As a tear rolls down his chin, his lips tremble slightly. Peter's back is to the door. Aunt May walks in, wearing a black floral bathrobe. He glances toward her as she gently sits on the bed next to him.
I missed them a lot today.
I know. I miss him too. But he was there.
I can't help thinking about the last thing I said to him. He tried to tell me something important, and I threw it in his face.
You loved him. And he loved you. He never doubted the man you'd grow into. How you were meant for great things. You won't disappoint him.
Peter smiles at May. She smiles back, then lays a hand on his shoulder as she leaves. Now Peter pulls out a black plastic box and opens it. He takes out his Spider-Man top and looks at the spider design. He then takes out a sketch of a skin-tight costume. A gridded pattern like a spider's web completely covers the red chest, shoulders, and head. Two blank white triangles that touch point-to-point suggest eyes. Regions of blue wrap the figure's sides, and a black spider is centered on the chest. Peter stares at the drawing.
With great power comes great responsibility. Remember that, Pete. Remember that.
The view zooms into the spider. Now, inside a convenience store, a clerk puts money into a duffel bag. He stands at gunpoint. As the two robbers race outside, Spider-Man whisks down in broad daylight on a web line and disables the thieves. The money bag drops into the clerk's arms. The surveillance monitor briefly shows Spider-Man. Then a newspaper headline. Masked man foils robbery. a guy in a flannel shirt talks to us.
This is not a man. My brother saw him building a nest in the Lincoln Center fountain.
I think he's human. I think he's a man. Could be a woman.
Now, police cars hauled under a neon sign reading, "We buy diamonds."
Bobby, get a load of this.
Two thieves squirm in a giant spider's web. More headlines appear.
He throws up his hands, ropes come out, and he climbs up the ropes like a spider web.
I see the web, and it's his signature, and I know Spider-Man was here.
The guy protects us, you know? He protects
a cop talks to us.
Some kind of freaky Lewis something. I could do.
A bald
he
guy.
Stinks, and I don't like him.
Now a man mugs a woman. A spider web attaches to the gun, which flies from his grasp. Spider-Man swings by and grabs him. The woman reads a note. Courtesy, your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Guy with eight hands. Sounds hot.
He has those tights and that tight little
dresses like a spider and he looks like a bug.
A man in the subway.
Well, we should all just give him one big hug. A look out, ooh. Here comes Spider-Man.
Now, a man smoking a cigar reads the Daily Bugle in his office.
Who is Spider-Man? He's a criminal, that's who he is. A vigilante. A public menace. What's he doing on my front page?
Mr. Jameson, your wife is on line one. She needs to know if you...
Mr. Jameson, there's a page six problem.
We have a page one problem. Shut up.
Right.
Well?
He's news.
They're really important clients. They can't wait.
They're about to.
He pulled six people off that subway car.
Sure, from a wreck he probably caused. Something goes wrong and this creepy crawler is there. Look at that. He's fleeing the scene. What's that tell you?
He's not fleeing. He's probably going to save somebody else. He's a hero.
Then why does he wear a mask? What's he got to hide?
She just needs to know if you want the chintz or the chenille in the dining room.
Whichever one's cheaper.
Mr. Jameson, it's like this. We double booked page six. See, so both Macy's and Conaway's both have three quarters of the same.
We sold out four printings.
Sold out?
Every copy.
Tomorrow morning, Spider-Man, page one with a decent picture this time. Move Conaway to page seven.
There's a problem with page seven.
I make it page eight and give him 10% off. Okay. I make it 5%.
That can't be done.
Get out of here!
Problem is, we don't have a decent picture. Eddie's been on it for weeks. We can barely get a glimpse of him.
Oh, what, is he shy? If we can get a picture of Julia Roberts in a thong, we can certainly get a picture of this weirdo. Put an ad on the front page. Cash money for a picture of Spider-Man. He doesn't want to be famous, and I'll make him infamous.
Now, a sign on a low building reads, Moondance Diner. Mary Jane exits, wearing a waitress's uniform, and strides obliviously behind Peter. As she crosses the street, he follows.
Hey!
Buzz off.
She focuses straight ahead.
MJ, it's me, Peter.
Hi!
Hey.
She holds her coat closed.
What are you doing around here?
I'm begging for a job. How about you?
Oh, I'm headed to an audition.
An audition? So you're acting now?
Yeah, I work steady. In fact, I just got off the job.
That's great, MJ. You're doing it. You're living your dream.
Hey, girl.
Yeah.
You're always short $6. Next time that happens, I'm gonna take out your check.
MJ bows her head.
Excuse me, Miss Watson. I'm talking to you. Hey!
Yes, Enrique, okay? I get you.
Well, you better not happen no more, you hear me? Don't roll your eyes at me.
Mary Jane opens her coat and bashfully reveals her short waitress dress to Peter. She shrugs, then looks up to him.
Some dream, huh?
That's nothing to be embarrassed about.
Don't tell Harry.
Don't tell Harry?
Aren't you guys living together? We're going out, didn't he tell you?
Oh, yeah, right.
I think he'd hate the idea of my waiting tables. He'd think it was low or something.
That's not low. You have a job. You know, Harry, he doesn't live on a little place I like to call Earth.
She smiles brightly.
No, I guess not.
Mary Jane brushes her red hair from her face. They share a peaceful gaze.
Thanks, Pete. We should catch up sometime.
His raised eyebrows and parted lips follow her as she quickly moves on her way.
Let's get some lunch some evening.
MJ smiles at him.
I'll come by and have some of your Moondance coffee someday. And I won't tell Harry.
No, don't tell Harry.
I won't.
She waves, and Peter gazes dreamily after her.
I won't tell Harry.
He heads off in the opposite direction. Later, at Peter and Harry's high-rise apartment, Norman talks on the phone. Peter enters the apartment, which has brick walls, a high-vaulted ceiling, and a staircase of unfinished wood.
Time is perfect. Hey, 5 new contracts. It'll be great.
Peter walks over to Harry, who sits at a table.
Storm and Norman's making his weekly inspection. Spent half of it on the phone. Man, I'm glad you're here. I need your help. I'm really lost.
Harry looks up at Peter.
Are you all right? You look like you just got second place in the science fair.
No, I was late for work and Dr. Connors fired me.
You were late again?
Peter nods.
I don't get it. Wait, where do you go all the time?
Around.
Peter Parker! Maybe you'll tell me who she is.
Who's that?
This mystery girl Harry's been dating.
Harry shakes his head.
When do I get to meet her?
Dad.
Well, sorry, Harry hasn't mentioned her.
Peter and Norman stare at Harry. Harry looks at Peter with a furrowed brow.
Hey, Pete, you're probably looking for a job now, right? Dad, maybe you can help him out.
Peter shakes his head.
No, I appreciate it, but I'll be fine.
It's no problem. I'll make a few calls.
No, I couldn't accept it, sir. I like to earn what I get. I can find my own work.
I respect that. You want to make it on your own steam.
Peter reads a headline. Reward for photos of Spider-Man.
What other skills do you have, Parker?
I was thinking of something in photography.
At night, a robber attacks a guard at an armored truck.
Hello.
The robber aims a gun and punches the guard.
Let's go! Move it!
Others gather around the truck.
Watch the street!
As a camera stuck in a web takes photos, Spider-Man swoops in and kicks two thieves' faces. With a backflip, he bangs two robbers' heads together. His legs scissor hold a fifth guy and fling him aside. As the thief aims a gun, the hero backflips and kicks the man's jaw. Punching two more, he poses.
Jeez!
Now, at the Daily Bugle, Mr. Jameson sits at his desk, flipping through photos of Spider-Man in action. Peter sits before him, smiling.
They're crap. 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 Mega crap. I'll give you $200 for all of them.
That seems a little low.
Take them somewhere else, then.
Sir, your wife says the tile you ordered for the foyer is out of stock.
Tell her we just put a rug there. Sit down. Give me that.
He takes the folder.
I'll give you $300. It's a standard freelance fee. Tear up page one, run that photo instead.
Headline?
Spider-Man, hero or menace? Exclusive Daily Bugle photos.
Menace? He was protecting that armored car.
I'll tell you what, Atticus. You take the pictures, I'll make up the headlines, okay? All right? That okay with you?
Yes, sir.
Goody.
He writes an invoice.
Give this to the girl up front. She'll see you get paid.
I'd like a job, sir.
No jobs. Freelance. Best thing in the world for a kid your age. You bring me some more shots of that newspaper-selling clown, maybe I'll take him off your hands. But I never said you have a job. Meat. I'll send you a nice box of Christmas meat. Best I can do. Get out of here. Bring me more photos.
Peter goes to the receptionist.
Hi. Mr. Jameson told me to give that to you.
Ah. Welcome to the Daily Bugle.
Thank you.
He smiles at the brunette.
I'm Peter Parker.
She glances at him as she writes.
I'm a photographer.
She looks at his camera.
Yes, I can see that.
Peter's smile softens. Now at the Oscorp skyscraper, Norman speaks at the head of a conference table flanked by people in suits.
As of today, Oscorp Industries has surpassed Quest Aerospace as the principal supplier to the United States military. In short, ladies and gentlemen of the board, costs are down, revenues are up, and our stock has never been higher.
Wonderful news, Norman. Wonderful. As a matter of fact, it's the reason we're selling the company.
What?
Yes, Quest Aerospace is recapitalizing in the wake of the bombing. Expanding. They made a tender offer we can't ignore.
Why wasn't I told?
The last thing they want is a power struggle with entrenched management.
The deal is off if you come with it. The board expects your resignation in 30 days. But you can't do this to me.
Norman gapes as he rises to his feet.
I started this company. You know how much I sacrificed?
He gives a pleading look to Fargus, who stares back from his wheelchair.
Oh, Max, please.
Norman, the board is unanimous. We're announcing the sale after the World Unity Festival. I'm sorry.
You're out, Norman.
Mr. Balkan coldly sips his tea at the far end of the table. Norman glares, then looks down, wipes his mouth, and raises his head.
Am I?
Norman smiles. Now at the World Unity Festival.
Welcome to Oscorp Industries Unity Day Festival. Let's hear it for Macy Gray.
Giant balloons hover above hordes of people on the city streets. A view through a camera lens shows two women in Renaissance attire. Then the cover of the Daily Bugle, which reads, Big Apple Dread Spider Bite. Peter frowns. Macy Gray dances.
Baby, I know we had a bad day. You are so mad at me.
Amid the crowd, Peter faces the Oscorp building. He points his camera at it and focuses on well-dressed people socializing on a balcony. Through the lens, Peter sees Harry and Mary Jane. He lowers his camera. Now on the balcony.
MJ, why didn't you wear the black dress? I wanted to impress my father. He loves black.
Well, maybe he'll be impressed no matter what. You think I'm pretty.
I think you're beautiful.
He lifts MJ's chin with his fingers and licks his lips. As he leans in, she turns her face away. Harry gazes off and notices Peter standing below in the crowd, watching them.
MJ, will you do me a favor? I forgot my drink inside.
Harry and MJ walk away. Down below, Peter's eyes grow wide as he looks left and then right. On the balcony, Harry approaches the man in the wheelchair.
Oh, hi, Mr. Fargus.
Well, Harry.
Have you seen my father around?
Well, I'm not sure if he's coming today.
Outside, Peter looks up to the sky. A dark object crosses behind a billboard, trailing black smoke. From the Oscorp balcony, Fargus and Balkan observe the approaching craft.
What is that?
Must be new this year.
MJ and Harry also notice. The crowd looks up as Macy Gray stops singing. Balkan uses binoculars.
That's a glider.
Above the balloons, a green figure balances on the glider. The craft banks past the Oscorp building and over the cheering crowd. As it flies a few hundred feet away from the balcony, Harry stares.
What the hell was that?
The glider loops again behind the giant billboard screens, then swoops back toward the festival. Mary Jane takes a step back. On the glider, the green metallic pilot weaves between the giant balloons, slapping one as he passes. He speeds toward the balcony and throws a ball the size of an orange at the building. Explosions tear through the windows and concrete below the balcony. Fargus falls over in his wheelchair. On the street, a police officer grips his hand radio.
Call three!
On the balcony, two men fall off as the stone railing fractures. Peter sees a chunk of concrete about to land on a couple on the sidewalk. He lashes them with web lines and pulls them out of the way. Up above, MJ gets trapped on a separating piece of the balcony. As Peter runs, he opens his shirt, revealing his spider emblem. Above, the piece of the balcony that holds MJ nearly detaches. An ornate lamppost breaks off and crushes a police car. Harry gawks as the glider pilot faces the board members.
Out, am I?
The villain tosses a copper ball, which vaporizes the board members into skeletons. They crumble to dust.
Mary Jane!
As debris knocks Harry unconscious, the villain hovers behind Mary Jane.
Hello, my dear.
Spider-Man kicks the villain off the glider. As the green pilot falls, the unmanned glider punches through a balloon of the planet Earth. The deflating balloon pushes on a huge display, which then tilts over a child.
Come on, move, kid!
Spider-Man swoops in as the display gives. He snatches the child and narrowly escapes the crashing display. He then returns the child to his mother.
Mommy!
Now, as the green villain stands, police officers spot him.
Hold it right there!
I surrender!
Oh, boy.
Hold it right there!
The villain punches four officers who go flying backwards. Spider-Man jumps in and throws a punch, which the villain catches.
Impressive!
He kicks Spider-Man's chest. The hero flies through two food tables and a tower of champagne glasses. His momentum is stopped by a lamppost, which breaks and hits a bystander. The villain hops on the armed glider. As Spider-Man runs, bullets strike the pavement at his heels. The glider launches a missile. Spider-Man lashes a giant balloon hundreds of feet in the air and vaults to the top of it.
Mary Jane!
Help! Someone please help!
Mary Jane reaches out as the balcony jolts. A chunk plummets far below. Spider-Man leaps from balloon to balloon, making his way to MJ. As he jumps toward the balcony, the glider pilot intercepts him in midair and pins him face first against a huge multi-paned window. The villain then pounds Spider-Man's head into the metal bars. Spider-Man elbows him. As they exchange blows, Spider-Man falls and lands on a stable section of the balcony.
Hold on!
The villain hovers toward Spider-Man.
Watch out!
Spider-Man shoots sticky webbing onto the villain's eyes. He does a backflip and rips out some of the glider's wires. The machine flies off. As MJ falls, Spider-Man dives after her. He grabs her and shoots a line of web to the underside of the balcony. The stretchy line pulls taut just inches before they hit the ground. As they spring back up into the air, he shoots another strand and they swing to a different building. Onlookers gawk at the couple swinging through the air and sweeping between the high rises of Manhattan. MJ clings to Spider-Man. Her frown turns to a smile as she looks at the passing buildings. On a thick, gleaming strand, they swing past St. Patrick's Cathedral and come to rest on the lawn of a manicured hedge garden. A couple sitting on a bench by a reflecting pool cautiously stares at them.
Well, Pete's taking the subway. Don't mind us, she just needs to use the elevator.
Wait!
She grabs him.
Who are you?
You know who I am.
I do.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
He somersaults off the rooftop garden. MJ runs after him and leans over the building's edge. She smiles as she watches him swing away. Later at night, in Harry and Peter's apartment, Harry uses the phone.
Incredible. What do you mean he's incredible? No, all right, wait, stay there, I'm gonna come over.
Peter listens.
All right, fine. Will you call me in the morning and we'll go and have breakfast and I want to buy you something. Because I want to. It'll make you feel better. Okay. And, like, what do you mean incredible?
Peter cracks a smile.
All right, I'm sorry. Sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs.
Harry walks over to Peter.
She's all right. She's just a little rattled. Like, Pete, I should have told you about us. You should know I'm crazy about her. It's just, you know, you never made a move.
You're right.
Peter nods.
I didn't.
Harry looks down with a furrowed brow.
I'm gonna get some rest.
I'm gonna stay up for a while.
What was that thing?
I don't know. Whatever it is, somebody has to stop it.
Now, the sun shines on the Osborne's castle-like penthouse. Inside, Norman, dressed in his robe, pours himself a glass of bourbon and takes a drink. Norman quickly turns to look behind him.
Somebody there?
Somebody. Who said that?
Norman gapes as he walks to the center of the room.
You've known all along.
Holding the glass of bourbon, Norman turns around in circles with searching eyes.
Where are you? Follow the cold shiver running down your spine.
Norman studies a group of tribal masks. His eyes grow wide as he focuses on each one. He squints.
I'm right here.
He pivots to see his reflection in a floor-length mirror.
I don't understand.
Did you think it was coincidence? So many good things all happening for you. All for you, Norman.
He looks at his reflection.
What do you want?
To say what you won't. To do what you can't. To remove those in your way.
His reflection smiles and holds up the Daily Bugle. Norman looks at the paper in his hand.
The board members.
The headline reads, Oscorp Board Murdered.
You killed them.
We killed them.
We?
Remember your little accident in the laboratory?
The performance enhancers.
Bingo. Me, your greatest creation. Bringing you what you've always wanted. Power beyond your wildest dreams. And it's only the beginning. There's only one who can stop us. Or imagine if he joined us.
As Norman backs away with a frightened gaze, the reflection narrows his eyes and smiles. Now at the Daily Bugle.
Spider-Man and the Green Goblin. The Green Goblin, you like that?
Mr. Jameson.
Made it up myself. These weirdos all gotta have a name now.
Mr. Jameson, Spider-Man.
Hoffman?
Yeah?
Call the patent office, copyright the name Green Goblin. I want a corner every time somebody says it.
How about green meaning?
Spider-Man wasn't attacking the city. He was trying to save it. That's slander.
It is not. I resent that. Slander is spoken. In print, it's libel.
You don't trust anybody. That's your problem.
I trust my barber.
Jameson throws his cigar out the window.
What are you, his lawyer? Get out of here. Let him sue me. Get rich like a normal person. That's what made this country...
His cigar flies back in. Jameson sits up and looks at it on his desk. The Green Goblin crashes through the window and grabs Jameson by his throat.
Jameson, you slime! Who's the photographer who takes the pictures of Spider-Man?
I don't know who he is. His stuff comes in the mail.
You're lying!
I swear.
He's the one who can bring me to him.
I don't know who he is.
You are useless. You.
Set him down, tough guy.
Spider-Man appears.
Speak to the devil.
Spider-Man, I knew you two were in this together.
A web seals Jameson's mouth.
Let Mom and Dad talk for a minute, will you?
The Green Goblin releases a white vapor from the tops of his hands. Spider-Man drifts into slumber and falls off the building. On his glider, the Green Goblin catches him before he hits the ground and speeds off. Now nighttime, on a rooftop.
Wake up, little spider. Wake up. No, you're not dead yet. Just paralyzed, temporarily. You're an amazing creature, Spider-Man. You and I are not so different.
I'm not like you. You're a murderer.
Well, to each his own. I chose my path, you chose the way of the hero. And they found you amusing for a while, the people of this city. But the one thing they love more than a hero is to see a hero fail, fall, die trying. In spite of everything you've done for them, eventually they will hate you. Why bother?
Because it's right.
Here's the real truth. There are 8 million people in this city. And those teeming masses exist for the sole purpose of lifting the few exceptional people onto their shoulders. You, me, we're exceptional. I could squash you like a bug right now, but I'm offering you a choice. Join me. Imagine what we could accomplish together. What we could create. Or we could destroy. Cause the deaths of countless innocents in selfish battle again and again and again until we're both dead. Is that what you want?
The Green Goblin jumps onto his glider.
Think about it, hero!
He flies off. Morning. The Daily Bugle headline reads, Spider-Man, Green Goblin, Terrorize Bugle. A special evening edition of the paper shows Spider-Man on it and reads, Wanted. Peter stares at it blankly.
In spite of everything you've done for them, eventually they will hate you.
A caption reads, Citizens call for Wallcrawler's arrest. Elsewhere, Mary Jane exits a building and throws down a piece of paper. Peter spots her.
Hey, it's me again.
Hey.
How was your audition?
How'd you know?
The hotline. Your mom told my aunt, told me.
So you just came by?
I was in the neighborhood. I needed to see a friendly face. I took two buses and a cab to get in the neighborhood, but so how'd it go?
Her smile fades.
They said I needed acting lessons. A soap opera told me I needed acting lessons.
Well, let me buy you a cheeseburger. The sky's the limit, up to $7.84.
I'd like a cheeseburger. Oh, but I'm going out to dinner with Harry. Come with us.
No, thanks. How's it going with... Never mind. That's none of my business.
It's not? Why so interested?
I'm not.
You're not?
Well, why would I be?
I don't know. Why would you be?
Mary Jane raises her eyebrow and smirks.
I don't know.
Sorry, you won't come with us.
Lightning flashes.
I better run, Tiger.
Mary Jane hurries across the street. As Peter stares after her, it starts to rain. Across the street, two young men notice MJ round a corner.
Hey, check it out, man.
As they follow her, Peter's eyes widen. Now, a rooftop overlooks MJ and her pursuers.
Hey, where you going, baby? Come on!
Spider-Man hops along the roof's edge, taking off a shoe. As Mary Jane rushes down an alley, two more men move in. She runs and they give chase. As the rain pours down, one man heads MJ off and the others surround her. One grabs the shoulder of her jacket. She whacks him with her bag, then kicks another in the groin. One attacker pulls a switchblade. As the men struggle with her, four strands of webbing stick to each of them and yank them backwards. On a nearby wall, a maskless Spider-Man reels them in. Mary Jane watches awestruck as Spider-Man backflips off the wall. He kicks one attacker's stomach, flips over him, and lifts his fists at shoulder height just in time to punch two more. With the same move, he sends the pair crashing into windows on either side of Mary Jane. She watches Spider-Man drop the last attacker's limp body. As she heads toward him, he rushes off.
Wait!
As Mary Jane scans the empty alley, Spider-Man, now with his mask on, hangs upside down behind her.
You have a knack for getting in trouble.
You have a knack for saving my life. I think I have a superhero stalker.
I was in the neighborhood.
You are amazing.
Some people don't think so.
But you are.
Nice to have a fan.
Do I get to say thank you this time?
She reaches for his mask.
Wait.
Mary Jane pauses, then continues to reach for his mask. She gently gathers the wet fabric at his neck and carefully rolls the stretchy material off of his chin and lips. Holding his face in her hands, she leans in for a kiss. As their lips interlock, Mary Jane's nose rubs against Spider-Man's chin. Raindrops roll down their skin as their lips linger in the deep kiss. As their lips release, Mary Jane rests her nose in the dip between his lip and chin. With a faint smile, she takes hold of the mask and slowly rolls it back in place. Spider-Man shoots webbing upward and grabs hold. As he darts away, Mary Jane grins skyward. Raindrops shimmer in the darkness. She closes her eyes and lets them wash over her face. Daytime. Golden sunlight brightens the New York skyline. Fire engines approach a flaming building. Flames shoot from the windows on the top two floors. As firefighters help a girl from the building, a blonde woman approaches. Now Spider-Man swings on a rope of webbing over the busy city street. As he lets go, he creates another.
Save my baby, please!
Spider-Man swings from a light post and into one of the building's windows. On the street below, police officers hold back a crowd of onlookers. The baby's mother stands with the fireman, keeping her gaze fixed on the window. The fireman looks too. His gaze returns to the concerned mother as she clasps her hands and trembles. Fire explodes from a window. Another explosion blasts Spider-Man from the window. He lands safely with a bundle in his arm. He hands the wrapped baby to the mother.
Okay, your baby's fine.
Oh, my baby. God bless you, Spider-Man.
A policeman rushes toward them.
Maria, don't let him get away! Hold it! Hold it right there. You're under arrest. I'm taking you in.
Oh, my God, there's somebody still up there!
Spider-Man faces the officer.
I'm going.
I'll be here when you get back.
Not coming back, Chief.
Go! Go!
Spider-Man shoots up a strand of webbing and springs toward the roof. He swings into the top floor window and scans the flame-filled room.
Where are you?
A piece of the roof crumbles behind him.
Where are you?
He peers through the gutted walls and charred beams and spots a figure wrapped in a blanket.
I'm gonna get you out of here!
Sparks and smoke fill the air around him as he approaches the figure.
It's okay!
As he reaches out, the figure turns. It's the Green Goblin! He punches Spider-Man and sends him flying through several charred walls.
You're pathetically predictable. Like a moth to the flame. What about my generous proposal? Are you in or are you out?
It's you who's out, Gobby. Out of your mind.
Wrong answer!
As he throws a ball, it splits into several spinning blades.
Oh, great.
In slow motion, Spider-Man jumps, twisting his body diagonally. Two of the blades pass on either side of his hips. As he lands, three more speed toward him. He jumps one while ducking the other two. The goblin punches him. As the blades return, Spider-Man ducks. He blocks another punch, then lands one on the goblin's face. As Spider-Man deflects two more blades, one cuts his forearm. He leans back, parallel to the floor, and two blades collide inches from his face. As the goblin charges, Spider-Man knocks him back, then reels him in with his webbing and delivers a powerful kick to his body. Outside, another blast shoots from the windows. As the goblin gets to his feet, he finds the room empty.
No one says no to me!
Now, in an elevator, Norman's eyes roll to the back of his head. In the apartment, Harry cleans as Mary Jane and Aunt May cook.
MJ, will you stop goofing around?
Harry, relax.
Sneering, Norman opens the elevator gate.
He's here.
Are you ready?
Aunt May opens the door for Norman.
Oh, Aunt May. I'm sorry I'm late. Work was murder. I picked up a fruitcake.
Why, thank you, Mr. Osborne. We're so glad
you
could come.
And
who is this lovely young lady?
MJ, I'd like you to meet my father, Norman Osborne. Dad, this is Mary Jane Watson.
Hi.
How do you do? I've been looking forward to meeting you.
Happy Thanksgiving, sir.
Now, where is Peter? He better have remembered that cranberry sauce.
Outside, Spider-Man swings through the building, vaulting to a top-floor archway. The others look up.
Oh, that's weird. I didn't know he was here.
As Norman looks Mary Jane up and down and smirks, she averts her gaze.
Peter?
Aunt May cranes her neck toward the second floor. They all head upstairs.
Peter?
Spider-Man lands in his room and takes off his mask.
Is that you?
They enter the room. It's empty.
Pete?
How strange. There's nobody here.
Directly above Norman, Peter clings to the ceiling. A droplet of blood fattens on Peter's cut arm.
Bit of a slob, isn't he?
All brilliant men are.
The others leave. As Norman starts to follow, the blood drips onto the floor, just missing him. Norman freezes. He turns and spots the tiny pool of blood on the wood plank. He looks to the high ceiling. Nothing's there. Norman's eyes narrow and he steps out onto a balcony. As he looks out over the railing, Peter lies face down on the underside of the balcony. Now Peter, in a jacket and tie, enters the apartment with a can of cranberry sauce.
Hey, everyone.
Oh, Peter.
Parker.
Hey, sorry I'm late. It's a jungle out there. I had to beat an old lady with a stick to get these cranberries.
Oh, Peter. Thank you. Yeah. Now then, everybody sit down, and we can say grace.
Peter and Norman shake hands.
Okay.
Here we go.
Peter takes a seat across from Mary Jane and Harry and smiles awkwardly. Aunt May sets a turkey in front of Norman.
There we are.
Norman picks at the stuffing.
Norman?
May slaps his hand. He glares.
Will you do the honors?
Keeping his gaze fixed on May, Norman licks his fingers. As he starts to sharpen a large carving knife, he gives May a smirk. She smiles politely, then looks to Peter. Her brow furrows.
Why, Peter, you're bleeding.
Norman sees the blood on Peter's sleeve.
Oh, I stepped off a curb and got clipped by one of those bike messengers.
Oh, let me see. Oh, my goodness. Oh, that looks awful.
No, it's nothing.
I'll get the first aid kit. Then we'll say grace.
Norman stares at the thin scratch on Peter's forearm.
And we are going to do things properly.
How did you say that happened?
Bike messenger. Knocked me down.
Norman looks away. Mary Jane and Harry watch him quizzically as he gets up from the table.
You'll excuse me, I've got to be going.
What? Why?
Something has come to my attention.
Are you all right?
I'm fine, just fine.
Thank you, Mrs. Parker. Everyone, enjoy the fruitcake.
Dad!
Harry follows him into the hall, leaving the door partially open.
What are you doing? I planned this whole thing so you can meet MJ, and now you have to leave?
I gotta go.
This girl is important to me.
Harry, please.
MJ and Peter over here.
You think a woman like that sniffing around because she likes your personality?
What are you saying?
Your mother was beautiful, too. They're all beautiful. Until they're snarling after your trust fund like a pack of ravening wolves.
You're wrong about her, Dad.
A word to the not-so-wise about your little girlfriend. Do what you need to with her, then broom her fast.
At the dinner table, Mary Jane bows her head. Peter looks to her with concern as she listens. Harry enters with his shoulders slumped. Mary Jane throws down her napkin.
Thanks for sticking up for me, Harry.
You heard?
Everyone heard that creep.
The creep is my father, all right? If I'm lucky, I'll become half of what he is. So just keep your mouth shut about stuff you don't understand.
Harry Osborn.
I'm sorry, Aunt May.
Mary Jane leaves. Now the Green Goblin mask hangs on a wingback chair.
Spider-Man is all but invincible. But Parker, we can destroy him.
I can't.
Betrayal must not be countenanced. Parker must be educated.
Norman faces the mask feebly.
What do I do?
Instruct him in the matters of loss and pain. Make him suffer. Make him wish he were dead.
Yes.
And then grant his wish.
But how?
The cunning warrior attacks neither body nor mind.
Tell me how!
The heart, Osborn. First, we attack his heart.
Now May kneels at her bed with a picture of Ben.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us.
The Green Goblin hovers in through a gaping hole in the wall.
Deliver us!
Finish it! Finish it!
Evil!
Cowering on the floor, May looks up at the Green Goblin with frightened eyes. Now Peter rushes down a hospital corridor. He hurries into a room.
Horrible yellow eyes.
A nurse closes the door on Peter. He leans against the wall and stares off with wide eyes.
He knows who I am.
His gaze flits around in thought. Slack-jawed, he turns his head and looks up and down the hallway. Later, in the hospital room, Peter sits at Aunt May's bedside. Bright light shines down on her as she sleeps. Peter reaches out and takes his aunt's hand in his. He squeezes it and caresses the back of her hand with his thumb. On a nightstand beside him, a framed photo shows him and Uncle Ben in suits standing on either side of Aunt May. Peter stares at the picture sadly. Turning his gaze back to his aunt, he lets out a deep breath.
I'm sorry.
Daytime. Mary Jane enters the hospital room with a bouquet of flowers.
Will she be okay?
She's gonna be fine. She's been sleeping all day.
She approaches May's bedside.
Thanks for coming.
Of course.
Mary Jane gazes at May's peaceful face.
How are you? I mean, you okay about the other night?
Yeah, I'm fine. I just felt bad about leaving Aunt May.
Have you talked to Harry?
He called me. I haven't called him back.
She steps toward a window and sets down the flowers.
The fact is, I'm in love with somebody else.
You are?
At least I think I am.
May's eyes blink open.
It's not the right time to talk about it.
No, no, go on. Would I know his name, this guy?
You'll think I'm a stupid little girl with a crush.
Trust me.
It's funny. He saved my life twice, and I've never even seen his face.
Wow, him.
You're laughing at me.
No, I understand. He is extremely cool.
But do you think it's true, all the terrible things they say about him?
No. Not Spider-Man. Not a chance in the world. I know him a little bit. I'm sort of his unofficial photographer.
Has he mentioned me?
Yeah.
What'd he say?
He asked me what I thought about you.
And what did you say?
I said, Spider-Man. I said, the great thing about MJ is when you look in her eyes and she's looking back in yours, everything feels not quite normal. Because you feel stronger and weaker at the same time. You feel excited and at the same time terrified.
The truth is, you don't know what you feel. Except you know what kind of man you want to be. It's as if you've reached the unreachable. And you weren't ready for it.
Mary Jane smiles and blinks her teary eyes.
You said that.
Oh, something like that.
Peter nods and averts his gaze. In bed, Aunt May smiles to herself, closes her eyes, and takes a deep breath. Mary Jane reaches out and takes Peter's hand. Peter looks from their clasped hands to Mary Jane's eyes. She smiles sweetly. As they gaze lovingly at each other, Harry enters. They notice him and quickly release their grasp. Mary Jane looks away as Harry watches them with sad eyes.
Hey.
As Peter stares at Harry, Mary Jane bows her head. Now at the Osborne residence, Harry enters a huge foyer. He stops and heads for the stairs.
Dad?
Harry starts up a large carpeted staircase to the second floor.
Dad, is that you?
On a landing, Harry looks up to a railed gallery. Norman approaches.
What is it?
You're right about MJ. You're right about everything. She's in love with Peter.
Norman perks up.
Parker.
Yeah.
And how does he feel about her?
Harry steps toward his father.
He's loved her since the fourth grade. He pretends like he doesn't, but there's no one Peter cares for more.
I'm so sorry. I haven't always been there for you, have I?
You're busy. You're an important man. I understand.
That's no excuse. I'm proud of you. And I've lost sight of that somewhere, but I gotta make it up to you, Harry. I'm going to rectify certain inequities.
Harry looks to his father with teary eyes and a furrowed brow. Norman reaches out to him, and they hug. Now the Green Goblin springs toward us.
Wake up, little spider.
Wake up.
Peter lifts his head.
Go home, dear. You look awful.
And you look beautiful.
Well, thank you.
I don't like to leave you here.
Oh, but I'm safe here.
Can I do anything for you?
You do too much. College, a job, all this time with me. You're not Superman, you know.
Peter grins.
A smile, finally. Haven't seen one of those on your face since Mary Jane was here.
Hey, you were supposed to be asleep.
You know, you were about 6 years old when MJ's family moved in next door. And when she got out of the car and you saw her for the first time, you grabbed me and said, Aunt May, Aunt May, is that an angel?
Gee, did I say that?
You sure did.
Peter shifts his gaze to the bed.
Well, Harry's in love with her. She's still his girl.
Well, isn't that up to her?
She doesn't really know who I am.
Because you won't let her. You're so mysterious all the time. Tell me, would it be so dangerous to let Mary Jane know how much you care? Everybody else knows.
Peter's smile fades.
I'll be right back.
Peter dashes from the hospital room. In the hall, he rapidly dials a payphone.
Oh, come on, pick up.
Hi.
Hey, MJ.
Sing your song at the beep.
MJ, it's Peter. You there? Hello? You there? Well, I'm just calling to check up on you. Will you call me when you get in, okay? All right, well, don't go up any dark alleys. Hello?
Can Spider-Man come out to play?
Where is she?
Now, through a blurry haze, Mary Jane slowly opens her eyes. Wind tousles her hair and bedclothes as she comes to on a long metal grate. She takes a short step back and teeters on a high ledge. As she regains her balance, the view pulls upward, revealing the superstructure of a bridge. Cars speed by far below her. Her pink robe flutters in the breeze as Mary Jane rushes to a far railing. As she looks to the sky, her eyes widen. She ducks as the Green Goblin swoops in, shearing off a steel girder near her head. With billowing smoke trailing, the glider carries the goblin around a cable tram full of children. He hovers a moment, peering in, then jets off.
Itsy bitsy spider went up the water spout. Down came the goblin and took the spider out.
A rocket launches from the glider and demolishes the tram's landing platform in a fiery explosion. As the fire cloud rolls onto the bridge, cars swerve and crash into each other. Across the river, Spider-Man swings onto a rooftop near the end of the bridge. The fire's glow shines on his mask.
Goblin, what have you done?
At the exploding tram station, a huge pulley wheel flies loose. Snapping cables flail and the tram lurches. As it plummets, the goblin swoops in, grabs the attached cable, and gets jerked downward by it. The glider's jets belch black smoke as the goblin regains control and hauls the tram back up. Across the river, the tips of two flagpoles curve back, attached to web lines. Spider-Man strains to bend them further, then launches himself toward the bridge. He curls into a ball as he soars hundreds of feet through the air. Web lines whip out to the bridge. Spider-Man swings gracefully through the girders and loops around a crossbeam twice, landing on his feet below the goblin.
This is why only fools are heroes. Because you never know when some lunatic will come along with a sadistic choice.
He holds Mary Jane over the edge.
Let die the woman you love?
With the goblin's hand gripping her throat, Mary Jane watches her slippers drop.
Or suffer the little children.
A taut cable in his other hand is attached to the dangling tram. The children press against the windows.
Your choice, Spider-Man, and see how a hero is rewarded.
Don't do it, Goblin!
We are who we choose to be. Now choose!
As the Goblin drops his hostages, Spider-Man's eyes reflect Mary Jane and the tram, both plunging in slow motion. The children beat against the glass. MJ's arms reach out. Spider-Man sprints to MJ's side of the bridge and dives off, catching her. A web line shoots out, and they swing underneath the bridge just as the tram passes. A crowd on the bridge watches as Spider-Man grabs the cable. He slings another web line up to the bridge. Holding both line and cable, Spider-Man jerks the tram to a halt.
Everybody stay still!
With Mary Jane clinging to him, Spider-Man notices his web lines start to fray. The goblin glares down at them. A passing boat shines a spotlight at the tram.
Ahoy up there! We're gonna bring the barge right onto you!
Above them, the goblin pilots the glider off the bridge, trailing dark smoke.
He's coming back!
Listen! I need you to climb down!
I can't!
Yes, you can!
More strands of the web snap. They fall a few feet.
MJ, you can do it! You have to! Trust me.
She slides off his torso.
Hold on tight! And go quickly!
She slides halfway down the cable.
Hurry!
I can't do it!
Hang on, Mary Jane!
The goblin zooms under the bridge, slugging Spider-Man on his way by. As the line sways, Mary Jane dangles by one hand from the cable, and the children jostle in the tram. The shaken cable and web line spin the superhero around as the goblin returns. A slow-motion punch flips Spider-Man backwards. He loses his grip on the cable. Swinging forward, he grabs hold. The cable tightens, and Mary Jane slips off. She catches a top rail on the tram. Below, the barge floats into view.
He's not gonna make it!
He's gonna make it!
As the goblin barrels toward Spider-Man, the glider makes sweeping banks left and right. The hero watches the cable slide a few more feet through his grip.
It's time to die!
Blades extend from the front of the glider, and the goblin charges. A brick bounces off the villain's head, sending him spinning out of control. Another brick hits him as he recovers.
I got a little something for you!
The crowd pelts him with debris.
Spider-Man alone! You gotta pick on a guy trying to save a bunch of kids?
Oh yeah, I got some for your ass! You mess with Spidey, you mess with New York!
You
You mess with one of us, you mess with all of us!
As the goblin bats away the projectiles, Spider-Man lowers the tram onto the barge's stacked bales of trash. The tram doors open and the bridge crowd cheers. On the barge, Mary Jane spots the Green Goblin.
Spider-Man, watch out!
The goblin lashes a cable around Spider-Man's waist and tows him to a decrepit brick building on the riverbank, hurling him through the wall. Inside, Spider-Man falls towards sharp timbers. As he avoids them by swinging on a web, he smashes through a window. A copper bomb bounces into the dirt in front of him. His widening eye reflects the slow-motion explosion. The explosion disintegrates half his mask, exposing Peter's face and throwing him back through a wall. The goblin hops off his glider in front of him, and his yellow eye shields rise.
Misery, misery, misery. That's what you've chosen.
Peter struggles to get up.
I offered you friendship, and you spat in my face.
The goblin punches him in the gut. Peter ducks a second punch and gets kneed in the face. A slow-motion punch sends a stream of spittle from his lips. Dazed, he turns back, and an uppercut sends him flying onto his back. The goblin does a flip toward Peter and slugs him, making his bloody lips flap. Peter turns quickly back from a kick to the face and springs upward on a web lodge. The goblin spins into the air and knocks him back down. Another punch sends Peter into a shoulder roll. He turns with a scowl and spins a web across the goblin's path. The goblin gets stuck in the center, then starts to rip through. Peter rushes the entangled goblin and gets kicked into a brick column. The goblin's knee knocks him back. Then a flying sidekick launches Peter into a wall where he drops face down into the dirt. He weakly lifts his head and strains to shoot a web line. The goblin steps on his wrist.
You've spun your last web, Spider-Man. Had you not been so selfish, your little girlfriend's death would have been quick and painless. But now that you've really pissed me off, I'm gonna finish her. Nice and slow.
Peter glares up with menacing blue eyes.
MJ and I?
A spearhead divides in three.
We're gonna have a hell of a time.
As Peter stands, the goblin thrusts the spear at him. Peter catches the prongs and trembles through gritted teeth as he slowly pushes it away from his face. With a burst of strength, he throws the goblin across the ruins. Web lines shoot to the goblin's ankles and Peter yanks him off his feet. Cross-armed, he spins, fires two lines onto a wall, and pulls it down on the goblin. Peter steps back in the swirling cloud of dust. From beneath the rubble, the goblin's arm stretches upward. Loose bricks slide off of him as he emerges and staggers to his feet. Peter swings down, lifting him away by the throat. He releases his hold and the goblin smashes through a wooden frame and slams into a brick wall. Pouncing, Peter faces the goblin on the rotting second-story floor and lifts him upright. He delivers punches to the goblin's stomach and mask. As the villain drops, Peter straightens him and pummels him relentlessly.
Peter, stop! Stop! It's me!
Peter holds back a cocked fist as the goblin removes his mask. Peter stares down at Norman's terror-filled eyes.
Mr. Osborn.
Peter, thank God for you.
You killed those people on that balcony.
The goblin killed. I had nothing to do with it.
Don't let him take me again. I beg you, protect me.
You tried to kill Aunt May. You tried to kill Mary Jane.
But not you. I tried to stop it.
I couldn't stop it. I would never hurt you.
Norman presses a button on his wrist.
Beginning.
It flashes and the glider hovers up behind Peter.
Me. It was you that I could count on. You, Peter Parker, would save me, and so you have. Thank God for you.
Norman gets to his feet.
Give me your hand. Believe in me, as I believed in you. I've been like a father to you.
He spreads his arms.
Be a son to me now.
I have a father. His name was Ben Parker.
Norman squints.
Godspeed, Spider-Man.
Peter's eyes widen. The bladed glider jets forward. As Peter backflips out of the way, Norman holds up his arms.
Oh.
The glider skewers Norman's waist, pinning him to the wall. Peter stares, crouched on a pillar of brick. Norman winces with bloody teeth, then relaxes as he focuses on Peter.
Peter.
Don't tell Harry.
Norman slumps forward, his chin dropping onto the glider. His eyes remain open and blood dribbles out of his mouth. As Peter stares, an image of the nearby goblin mask fades in. Peter sadly drops his gaze. Later, dim light veils the Osborne penthouse. Inside, Spider-Man gently lays Norman's body, wrapped in a green sheet, onto a couch. His gaze turns to the door as Harry slowly enters.
What have you done? What have you done?
Harry reaches into a drawer and pulls out a pistol. He raises it and discovers Spider-Man gone. Near his father's body, a window curtain billows. Daytime. Leafless tree branches wave over a cemetery. Harry stands apart from a group of people dressed in black. The wind rustles his hair as he stares off past a few headstones in front of him. Peter approaches from behind.
Hey.
Harry turns around and gives him a brisk nod.
I'm so sorry, Harry. I know what it's like to lose a father.
Mourners walk by.
I didn't lose him. He was stolen from me. One day, Spider-Man will pay.
Harry glances down, then looks Peter in the eye.
I swear on my father's grave, Spider-Man will pay.
Peter gives him a troubled gaze.
Thank God for you, Peter. You're the only family I have.
The two men embrace. Harry pats his friend's back with a leather-gloved hand, then turns away. Peter watches him trudge through dead leaves toward a black car, then faces the funeral tent, where Mary Jane stands with two elderly mourners. As she watches him, he frowns thoughtfully.
No matter what I do, no matter how hard I try, the ones I love will always be the ones who pay.
Later, Peter stands in front of a gravestone that reads Ben Parker, beloved husband and uncle. He turns to find Mary Jane walking toward him. She gives him a hug.
You must miss him so much.
It's been so hard without him.
Her gloved hand cradles the back of his head, and she pulls away to face him.
There's something I've been wanting to tell you. When I was up there, and I thought I was gonna die, there was only one person who I was thinking of. And it wasn't who I thought it'd be. It was you, Pete. I kept thinking, I hope I make it through this. So I could see Peter Parker's face one more time.
She holds her hand to his cheek.
Really?
There's only one man who's always been there for me. Who makes me feel like I'm more than I ever thought I could be. That I'm just me. And that's okay. The truth is, I love you.
Peter's faint smile fades.
Oh, I love you so much, Peter.
She kisses him, eagerly cupping her hands on the sides of his neck. Peter kisses her back. As they separate, his eyes slowly open. Mary Jane watches him tensely. Peter gazes at her, his lips unmoving.
All I wanted was to tell her how much I loved her.
He speaks.
I can't.
She watches him tearfully and shakes her head.
You can't what?
Tell you everything. I mean, there's so much to tell.
Yeah, there's so much to tell.
I want you to know that I will always be there for you. I will always be there to take care of you. I promise you that.
His lips slowly curl into a gentle grin.
I will always be your friend.
Mary Jane briefly closes her eyes.
Only your friend? Peter Parker?
That's all I have to give.
He stares at her, his brow slightly furrowed. Her lip trembles. Peter swallows. As Mary Jane squeezes her eyes shut, a tear runs down her cheek. She lowers her head, which trembles a little. As Peter walks past her, Mary Jane reflects. She touches her parted lips, then turns her wondering gaze toward Peter, who continues walking.
Whatever life holds in store for me, I will never forget these words. With great power comes great responsibility. This is my gift, my curse. Who am I?
Peter's stride slows.
I'm Spider-Man.
Now Spider-Man swings on web lines through New York City. He plummets toward the street, swinging low between two lanes of traffic. As he swoops upward, he arcs to his right and runs along a skyscraper's reflective windows. He then shoots lines from each wrist, loops the jib of a high-rise crane, and uses the momentum to vault to the flagpole at the tip of a skyscraper. His toes and fingers adhere to the pole. The American flag billows at his side. He swings straight toward us. Cut to black.
This home video has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH, described by Carrie Danahy, Christopher Flowers, Justin Soule, Allison White, and Nikki Zada, read by Miles Neff. Now credits roll with interweaving web lines. Cast: Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man and Peter Parker, Willem Dafoe as Green Goblin and Norman Osborn, Kirsten Dunst as Mary Jane Watson, James Franco as Harry Osborn, Cliff Robertson as Ben Parker, Rosemary Harris as May Parker, J.K. Simmons as J. Jonah Jameson, Joe Manganiello as Flash Thompson, Jerry Becker as Maximilian Fargus, Bill Nunn as Joseph Robbie Robertson, Jack Betts as Henry Balkan, Stanley Anderson as General Slocum, Ron Perkins as Dr. Mendel Strom, Michael Papajohn as Carjacker, K.K. Dodds as Simpkins, Ted Raimi as Hoffman, Bruce Campbell as Ring Announcer, Elizabeth Banks as Miss Brandt, John Paxton as Houseman, Kim Dezarn as Philip Watson, Taylor Gilbert as Madeline Watson, Randy Savage as Bonesaw McGraw, Larry Joshua as wrestling promoter, Timothy Patrick Quill as wrestling arena guard, Lisa Danielle, Natalie T. Yo, Erica D. Porter, and Kristen Davidson as Bonettes, Jason Patchett as Flash's crony, Omar Huey as Teacher Shan, Sally Livingstone as Girl on Bus, Evan Arnold as Doctor, Jill Sayer as Nurse, James K. Ward as Project Coordinator, David Holcomb as Test Pilot, Octavia Spencer as Check-In Girl, Brad Grunberg as Heckler, Shane Haberstad as Little Billy, Deborah Wakeham as Billy's Mom, Rachel Bruce, Mackenzie Bryce, and Julia Berry as Times Square Children, Macy Gray as herself, Mike Watford as Cop at Fire, William Calvert as Fireman, Silva Collegian as Mother at Fire, Kristen Marie Holly as Young Lady at Fire, H.J. Megta and Peter Apple as Cabbies, Scott Spiegel as Marine Cop, Matt Smith and Sarah Ramirez as Cops at Carjacking, Lucy Lawless as Punk Rock Girl, Jace Bartok as Subway Guitarist, Maribel Gonzalez as Lady Dogwalker, Amy Bowrell as Office Lady, Joseph D'Onofrio as Opinionated Cop, Jim Norton as Surly Truck Driver, Corey Mendel Parker as Chaperone in Tram, Ashley Louise Edner as Girl in Tram, William Joseph Firth and Alex Black as Boys in Tram, Laura Gray as Tram Group Mother, Joe Vierzy, Michael Edward Thomas, and Jeannie Fox as New Yorkers on Bridge, Robert Kerman as Tugboat Captain, Stunt Coordinator Jeff Haberstad, Music Editor Ellen Siegel, Assistant Music Editor Ramiro Belgart, conducted by Pete Anthony, orchestrations by Steve Bartek, Mark McKenzie, Edgardo Simone, David Sloanaker, and Mark Mann. Score recorded and mixed by Dennis Sands. Music contractor Debbie Dance Pyle. Music preparation by Julian Bertolyubov. Music consultant Karen Glauber. Temp music editor Chris Innes. Soundtrack on Columbia Roadrunner Island Def Jam Sony Music Soundtracks. Music, When It Started, written by Julian Casablancas, performed by The Strokes. What We're All About, the original version, written and performed by Sum 41. Panorama, written by Jan Novak, Frage Milan, and Dijon Ness, performed by Leibach. Jimmy Shaker Day, written by Thomas Flowers, Doug Eldridge, and Rick Ivanisevich, performed by Oleander. Theme from Spider-Man, written by Paul Francis Webster and Robert Harris. My Nutmeg Fantasy, written by Macy Gray, Daryl Swan, Lonnie Marshall, Keith Chauncea, Finn Hammer, and Tom Rawls, performed by Macy Gray. Itsy Bitsy Spider, traditional. Hero, written and produced by Chad Kroger, performed by Chad Kroger, featuring Josie Scott.
Motion Picture Copyright 2002, Columbia Pictures Industries Incorporated, all rights reserved. Columbia Pictures Industries Incorporated is the author of this film for the purpose of copyright and other laws. The Major League Baseball trademarks depicted in this motion picture were licensed by Major League Baseball Properties Incorporated. Albert Einstein represented by the Roger Richman Agency Incorporated. www.albert-einstein.net. Flatiron Building location used by permission of Newmark & Company Real Estate Incorporated as agent for Flatiron Associates. Special thanks to the City and People of New York and the New York City Mayor's Office of Film, Theater, and Broadcasting. Filmed with Panavision cameras and lenses. Color by Deluxe. Spider-Man character registered and copyrighted 2002 Marvel Characters Incorporated. All rights reserved. The characters and incidents portrayed and the names herein are fictitious, and any similarity to the name, character, or history of any person is entirely coincidental and unintentional. American Humane Association monitored the animal action. No animal was harmed in the making of this film. This motion picture photoplay is protected pursuant to the provisions of the laws of the United States of America and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication and/or distribution of this photoplay may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Columbia Pictures, a Columbia Pictures release, a Sony Pictures Entertainment Company. This motion picture has been rated PG-13. Parents strongly cautioned by the Classification and Ratings Administration. Life is a great big pain. Wherever there's a pain, you'll find a Spider-Man. Now music video credits appear. Chad Kroeger featuring Josie Scott, Hero. Music from and inspired by the Columbia Pictures release Spider-Man, director Nigel Dick. A band plays on a rooftop. I am so high, I can hear ever. To their side, a billboard displays a spider insignia to the city. I'm so high, I can hear ever. Oh, but ever, no heaven down in me. And they say that a hero can save us. I'm not gonna stand. Spider-Man swings by on a web line. Someone told me love would all save us. Josie and Chad stand side by side at microphones. But how can that be? Look what love gave us. A world full of killing and blood spilling. Now our view climbs up the side of the building to Chad, who stands on the ledge playing guitar. In a film clip, a rain-soaked Mary Jane kisses Spider-Man as he hangs upside down, back on the rooftop. Now that the world isn't ending, it's love that I'm sending to you. Our view pulls away from the band. It isn't the love of a hero, and that's why I fear it won't. And they say that a hero can save us. I'm not gonna stand here and wait. I'll hold on to the wings of the eagles. Watch as we all fly away. And they're watching us. They're watching us. As we all fly. The music video credits return. Now a copyright. 2002, Roadrunner Records, Island Def Jam Records, Columbia Records, Sony Music Soundtracks.